I'm Tyler.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are TLC Coaches.
Helping couples in Act Two of their marriage. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back to listen. Tyler and I are sitting here at our kitchen table getting ready to record this week's podcast. And it's a topic that's on my brain a lot because it comes up all the time with the people that I'm coaching, because I think we all have this issue. I don't think it's only for women. I don't think it's something only women struggle with. I think I see our kids doing it too. And that is emotional eating and eating out of urges. And not just eating out of hunger. Now, let me first just say, I personally don't believe that food was put on this earth only for us to eat. I know that a lot of people do believe food is fuel. And if this, you know, doesn't speak to you, then that's okay. But I personally believe, because I think the same thing about sex. I think sex, yes, the main purpose is for us to make children. But I think it's also meant to be enjoyable. And I don't think we only have sex when we are trying to have children. Do we?
No, no, you're speaking my language right now. I mean, we wouldn't have these pleasure centers if it wasn't for pleasure. And then there's also the hormones and all the things that go into play with food or sex, either way. But they, you know, our brains are programmed to teach us about the things that we do and the food that we eat. And yeah, I mean, there's a reason why certain things we eat are pleasurable and things we do are pleasurable, and your body needs those.
Yeah.
At least within a moderate amount.
Yeah, totally. And I do think there are some kind of checks and balances, I think. I think there is such a thing as too much of either, you know? So,
Is there?
Spoken like a true man. So anyway, something that comes up with clients is, okay, for instance, like the other night I got a text from a client. And what I like about my coaching, one of the things I like that I offer is that I offer a package of so many sessions. I like being available to our clients, especially in the beginning when they're kind of wanting to just have a little bit of hand holding. I think ultimately what's so great about coaching is that you learn to coach yourself. And so you don't need somebody to hold your hand throughout the process. But in the beginning, I like to kind of walk my clients through some things, or at least help them through urges and desires to like go dive into the, you know, the Halloween candy that's hiding on the top shelf.
What would that look like?
Oh, I just mean that I make myself available. So if they want to text me or Marco Polo me, I try to be available at any time. So anyway, I got this text from one of my clients. It's like, okay, scenario. This is very typical for me. So the kids are in bed. My husband's asleep or at work. I can't remember. And there's Halloween candy up in the top shelf. And I feel like I deserve that candy. And I want to go dive into it. And so here's the thing. Is it bad to want candy? No. Is candy bad? No. It's just candy. But I know that this particular client wants to work through her urges and wants and has some like higher goals than that. And I said, look, here's the thing. And I learned this from Jody Moore. And that is, you're going to be disappointed either way. You're going to either dive into that candy and then feel gross because it doesn't feel good to eat buckets of candy. Or, and be disappointed once you've done that. Or you're going to be disappointed that you're sitting through working through an urge and not answering the urge. So it's kind of like, which disappointed do you want? Do you want to be disappointed having just eaten a bunch of candy? Or do you want to be the kind of disappointed that's like, eh, I really wanted that candy and I'm going to sit here being disappointed that I'm not going to eat it? I mean, it's interesting. You're going to be disappointed either way. So it's kind of like, that kind of sounds like a downer, I guess, in some ways, but it's true. I truly believe, though, that we get in our brains that like we're emotional eaters or we're binge eaters. And those are, to me, those are these labels that we give ourselves. And I just like to think, how do I show up when I've decided I'm a binge eater? How do I show up when I've decided I'm addicted to sugar? Yeah. How do I show up when I've decided I'm an emotional eater versus how do I decide to show up when I'm like, yeah, I like to sometimes indulge in candy. That's a humanistic experience. No, yeah,
absolutely.
So I choose to not label myself. I used to. Oh, I definitely used to. There were days that I went to Overeaters Anonymous and I was addicted to sugar and da, 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 da. And now I just decide, nah, for me, I don't like those labels. I just decide I am a person who sometimes has urges to eat all the food or to eat out of, you know, avoiding whatever emotion I'm not feeling. And then I work to work through those urges. So
that's really cool. That sounds like a mindful kind of thing.
Right? Yeah, mindful is such a buzzword right now, though, right?
It is a buzzword. I guess what I mean is that you're giving yourself a little time and space to think before you just jump into your urges.
Right. So how do you avoid the urges? Or excuse me, I don't think you can avoid the urges. But
you're still going to have
them. You're going to have urges. But it's usually that there's an emotion that you're feeling or emotion you're trying to stuff or use food to buffer away. And we're trying to kind of eat our feelings.
Okay. So like in this example, you're saying you'd be disappointed if I don't indulge and disappointed if I do.
Right.
Are we trying to avoid feeling disappointed?
Maybe.
And are you saying then it's okay to be disappointed?
Yeah, it's okay to be disappointed. But usually there's this feeling of like, I'm tired and I've had a long day.
Yeah.
Like for instance, this client of mine, I've had a long day. The kids are asleep. I deserve this food. And so there's some emotion.
Because it's going to do something for
maybe,
me?
Maybe, yeah.
What is it going to make me feel?
Well,
she's pursuing?
Probably, exactly. She's probably wanting to feel like some peace after a long day or some
and
calm.
And the chocolate's going to do it.
And she's thinking the chocolate's going to do it. But I think she knows deep down that she goes indulges, you know, she knows it might turn into like a lot of candy eating. Now, that doesn't mean that I think you should never eat candy. I think you should make room for candy. I really do.
I think it's interesting in this scenario. You said, okay, so the kids are asleep, the candy's up there, and the husband's out working. So clearly she's by herself.
Right.
Is it possible that these urges come when we don't have our like support team around us, when we don't have people or
maybe
we allow ourselves
I think,
more to be more vulnerable to them?
Maybe, but I think for her, it's more so like, nobody's here to bug me. Nobody's here to notice, you know.
Oh.
I deserve this sort of
so
thing,
this
I think.
So this is the toddler reaching into the cookie jar so when mom's away.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
I
think that our high, you do, our higher brain wants our best good. And so our higher brain can decide ahead of time, you know what? I know that I love that chocolate in there so much. Mm-hmm. But it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm probably actually really tired. That's really the thing I'm probably feeling is tired.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sleepiness. What if I decided that tomorrow I'm going to pick the three best candies out of there and I'm going to take them to work with me and I'm going to have them after lunch as like a little dessert?
Yeah.
You've decided ahead of time. Your prefrontal cortex can
decide
that ahead of time. You get to anticipate. And there's nothing wrong with anticipating food. I used to actually, that's another thought on a tangent here, but I used to think that there was something kind of a little bit, I used to try to change myself in that I was a person who thought about food all the time.
Yeah.
I don't anymore. Anymore, I'm like, yep. I'm that girl that thinks about food. I love food. And that is okay. And I think about it a lot because it's yummy. And that's okay. And I look forward to my meals. I'm looking forward to the dinner I'm making tonight.
I am too.
I'm making a Lily Loves, or what's it? Lily Eats and Tells. And shout out to Lily, if you're listening, Lily. I'm making this delicious shredded chicken in the Instapot. It's like cilantro, lime, something or other. And I'm totally looking forward to it. And that's awesome. So anyway, working through those urges, usually what you do, not usually what you do, what I advise people to do is to say, okay, I'm wanting that snack or food or whatever. I'm really not hungry for it, but I'm wanting, and I really don't want to indulge right now. I mean, really deep down, I don't want to. I can be a person who sits here and feels uncomfortable while that urge is urging me and not answer it. It's not about willpower. It's not about any other like white knuckling it through. It's not telling your brain you don't want it. It's I can be a person who's sitting here wanting something and want it, having an urge, and I'm not going to answer the urge. And you be uncomfortable for as long as it takes. And for me, it usually takes about 10, 15 minutes. Sometimes I go do something else. I go play the piano. I go for a little walk around the house. I do something to kind of get my brain off of it, and that helps. And then usually it passes.
You know, that's so interesting. I mean, obviously my training is more on the spectrum of illness, but we use that same kind of heuristic there. 10, 15 minutes, try something else, get your brain on something else, and it will reset. It just will. It'll reset. And then if the craving comes again or if the whatever comes again, you can either answer it or you can say, you know what, 10 or 15 minutes more, and it will reset again. So yeah, there's something to that. There's actually some science behind what you're saying.
Yeah. And that brings me, it makes me think of another thing of when I really thought I was a binge eater. And that to me, I like to say to myself, okay, am I a binge eater? I mean, I'm not a binge eater anymore, that's for sure. But back in the day, I like to say, you know, I'm this binge eater, and it was this label. And now I think, I don't know, I have a lot of evidence for not binging. I mean, even in the days of binging, when I struggled with binge eating on the weekends, I think I have evidence for like 85% of the time where I'm not binge eating, yeah. Or even more. You know what I mean? If you think about all the minutes and all the hours of the day. So anyway, yeah. Just some thoughts on some labels and emotional eating urges. And
I learned something.
Did you learn something?
Yeah.
Thanks, hon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, you can set up a free discovery session with us if any of this resonates with you and you just want to have a chit chat with me or Tyler or both of us. And we talk about what our coaching program entails. And we're loving helping people. We're loving helping. Is that okay to say? Peace and love. Hey, guys, before you go, here's the deal. If you like what you've heard, please like it, share it. Tell your friends, take a screenshot of it and post it. I know every podcaster asks you to do that, but there's a reason. It's because it helps us get the word out about the good that we're trying to do in the world to more people. So come on, please. Okay, bye-bye.